Hi, friend. Welcome to Holly's Highlights, a podcast designed to encourage, inspire, and equip you to intentionally live your life full of purpose. I'm your host, Holly Kirby, motivational speaker, leadership cultivator, marketing strategist, and personal cheerleader. Let's check out today's highlight. This episode brought to you by the Hope Gifted Podcast. Hope is a confident expectation. Hope is a courageous choice. It's more than a positive attitude and optimism. It is taking action to a brighter tomorrow, whether or not you see it in your present circumstances. The choices we make each day create either a story of defeat or a story of triumph. Christy introduces you to ordinary women that choose hope to create their extraordinary story. Be inspired with short doses of hope for the seeking soul to be, have, and do more. Listen to the Hope Gifted Podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Again, that's Hope Gifted Podcast at hopegiftedpodcast.buzzsprout.com. As we enter a new year, it only is natural to reflect on the year behind. So much has happened within these past 2 years of going through a pandemic. Job losses, moves, deaths, canceled events. Even Sky News reported a spike in divorces as Fox News contributes the rise to, in their words, an avalanche of COVID-related marital problems. There's just so much to mourn, to grieve. According to Psychology Today, grief is the acute pain that accompanies loss. Because it is a reflection of what we love, it can feel all-encompassing. Now, there are many ways that we deal or process this grief. You've heard it been said before as stages of grief. There's shock and denial, that stage of disbelief and numb feeling. I felt this one when my mom passed away. I was silent. I just went into that what needed to be done mode of folding blankets and tidying up the room. Life just stood still. I was in total shock. Then there's pain and guilt. The should've, the could've, the would've's. You've really got to watch this one as it can be a slippery slope of regrets. Next up, anger and bargaining. Why, if only? Now this one, I got pretty stuck in myself when my husband left. The anger I had from the choices that had been made that were out of my control. So many unanswered questions and unknowns, I'll still never know. The bargaining with God to fix things, to heal it or restore it, to even be able to go back in time just before life shattered. Then, of course, there's depression. Now, this is where some can turn to addictions or other dangerous paths. The upward turn comes, though, when leading to reconstruction and working through the grief, which, of course, finally brings about the acceptance of what the loss was and the hope of moving forward. Now, as I mentioned, in our time of grieving, we can often get stuck at a stage and struggle to process through each and every healthy step. Well, to help us understand and process through grieving, we have with us today a special guest and expert on the subject, Ms. Tina Pelton. Tina is an experienced associate pastor with a demonstrated history of working in a variety of ministry settings. She is skilled in discipleship, pastoral counseling, volunteer management, women's ministry, children's ministry, public speaking, event planning, and support groups. The list could truly go on and on. She's incredible. Her experience stems in community and social services with a Master of Arts focused in pastoral counseling from Liberty Theological Seminary and a Bachelor of Arts in Social Work from Arkansas State University. On top of that, she has advanced training and continuing education in areas specific to grief and loss, formational prayer, and attachment theory. We are so blessed to have her with us to share and help us navigate through the grief in our lives or perhaps be able to even help someone around us. Welcome, Tina. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Holly. I'm honored that you would ask me to join you, and I'm looking forward to sharing a few things that I've learned about grief and loss over the years and hopes that it will be helpful to someone out there.
Absolutely. I'm sure it will be. Now, Tina, there has been so much loss over this past year, even the 2 years of the pandemic, from job losses where people are still looking for jobs or perhaps had to change careers or even make a move just to get a job. Trips canceled. I think about our own family who had a missions trip planned to Costa Rica. And although some things have opened up, we completely missed our opportunity to get to do that adventure and that missions trip. So that was a bummer. The loved ones who have been lost. I have a friend who shared he has lost over 30 people close to him during this pandemic. So I think my first question would be just why is it important to learn about grief?
Well, Holly, that is an excellent question. And like you've just shared, the last almost 2 years now have been eye-opening to so many of us about grief. And not just grief in the loss of a loved one through death, but as you said, just through loss of job or living circumstances. You know, so many people that I know have gone through separation and divorce during this last 2-year period. And so it's taught us all kinds of things about grief. And unfortunately, we often don't think much about grief until it's staring us in the face. And then we're kind of in that shock and denial and going, oh no, this is here. I can't run away from it anymore. Now, what do I do? And what I want people to know and maybe understand a little bit better is that wrestling through our grief really can teach us some what I believe are life's most important lessons. Learning about grief helps us know what's normal and healthy and what's not. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but we can learn that we and other people close to us can go through really difficult emotions, sometimes just tangled ball of emotions, to be honest, and we can come out okay. And sometimes we can come out even better on the other side than we would have ever dreamed possible when we really look at our grief and start to do some hard work. It can just be a gateway of growth for us if we will let it be. It teaches us so much about ourselves. And in the end, it really shows us, maybe magnifies for us what's important to us. And then also helps us see the things that maybe we thought were important that aren't as big as we've made them to be.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's of such value. Just that wrestling with grief and how it teaches us, having that continued growth mindset is huge on a daily basis, but especially in our trials. I think that's very important to note. Now, some changes in life are obvious ones to grieve, but there seem to be more challenges in life that we grieve or mourn without even knowing, as you just shared. I know I experienced this when my husband left. We had just started trying to have our third child. And so that whole year of separation, I ended up grieving a pregnancy I never even had. Almost like a feeling of a loss of a child. No disrespect to anyone out there, but a loss of a child I never even knew. So how do we know if we or a loved one are even grieving? You mentioned a few things there, but what are some other things that we can look for?
Well, Holly, what you just referred to is a perfect example of what we would call a secondary loss. In the event of a marriage that ends, a person obviously grieves the end of the marriage, but there's also secondary losses that need to be acknowledged and grieved as well. And so for you, it was the realization that not only is the marriage ending, but there's never going to be the third child from this marriage that I had hoped for and dreamed of and planned for. And those are sometimes losses. We call them secondary losses because we just don't think of them right off the bat. Sometimes not until months later. You know, just briefly, a couple of other examples of those secondary losses are things like, okay, when a spouse dies, no longer there's somebody there to review at the end of the day with you. Or it could be something as simple as, you know, there's nobody that takes out the garbage now. And you don't realize those things until, oh, somebody's got to take out the garbage. I guess that's me now. Could be all of a sudden there's not a grandparent to call on a child's birthday. And you grieve the loss of the grandparent, but you don't think about that secondary loss until the child's birthday comes around and there's no phone call. So just secondary losses a lot of time are those simple little rituals that are shared between people. But how do we know if we or a loved one is grieving? Sometimes that's tricky. It's hard to figure out because we are masters at covering everything up. I'm a master of this. There's a task that has to be taken care of. Put your head down, your nose to the grindstone, get it done. There'll be time to do the grieving later, right? So sometimes it's really hard to know if somebody's grieving, but I think there are just some subtle little things. Sometimes they're really obvious things that we see, but I always look for things like isolation. Are people isolating themselves? You know, did they used to be a very social person and all of a sudden they're not available for anything? Are they just withdrawing generally from things? To me, that's one of the key things that I would notice up front. Are there major changes in their lifestyle? Like, do they, now this may kind of sound out there, but it's probably more prevalent than people realize. And that is, do you have this person that was you know, kind of kept to themselves. And now all of a sudden they're out there, they're the party animal, or they're spending money like crazy. Things like that. Like, are there drastic changes in somebody's behavior? Those can be really key clues that they're grieving, but it's not coming out as grieving. They're trying to mask that.
Right.
Right. They're trying to not deal with it. So I'm going to do all these things. And in the end, you're going to deal with it. One way or another, you're going to deal with your grief. So it really is kind of individualized about how people will deal with it. But I would say basically, just look for things that seem, no, that's different. That's
a little off.
That's a little off. That's not their normal thing. And then just ask them gently, right? Like, boy, it seems like you've really adopted this new lifestyle.
Yeah.
And tell me about that a little bit and get them to talk a little bit. And it may come out that, yeah, it was just too lonely. It was too quiet. It was whatever. And they may open the door enough that then you could say, oh, do you think that might be some of the grief? That would be a really normal way to feel. And it just opens the door a little bit for conversation that they may just be avoiding, or they may be afraid to have because they're overwhelmed with their grief.
Yeah. I had to chuckle there at the moment when you started about the garbage cans, because that was one for me. Is my former husband took out the garbage cans. And even to this day, as I just shared in our last episode, the Valentine's Day episode on acts of service, specifically that area, is I have a gentleman across the street, sweetest man, who still helps me remember to take out my garbage cans.
Oh.
I'm actually very thankful for that. But what should we do when dealing with this grief? And what does healthy grieving look like? You'd mentioned some of those things that just seem off, but what can that healthy grieving look like?
Yeah. Well, when we're dealing with our grief, the first thing that I would tell anything, and it seems so counterintuitive, but that is just let it come, lean into it. And I know from my own personal experience, that feels so, no, I'm going to overcome this. I'm not going to let this get me. And that has never served me well. So just to lean into it, don't try to run away from it. And I have a little story I'll share about that later, but just do that. Another thing that I would say is to find a healthy community where you can just be, whether that's another person or a group of friends. For some people, that's their church setting, might be their Bible study group or community group, or find a support group. And if there's a support group available for the particular type of loss that you're dealing with, then try to find that, because you will need a place where you can freely share and receive from other people without worrying about the other people in your circle who may be grieving the exact same loss as you, right? I don't know about you, Holly, but I tend to be the person who wants to make sure everybody else is okay. And so in some of my own experiences with grief, I've kind of taken on that role, and I don't always find those outside groups, and I don't want to share with my circle who's grieving the same loss because I don't want to be a burden to them. Sometimes that's really good, and it's definitely healthy to do that, but I think we still need these other places where we can just go and be and know that we're going to benefit from sharing our grief with other people and letting other people care for us. I think that outside community is vitally important.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And one thing I know for myself I struggled with was that vulnerability of just breaking down those barriers and sharing. It can be so hard just letting people in and letting mm-hmm. them know, hey, I'm struggling with this, or hey, this is what's going on. But it overall can be such a valuable asset going forth down the long road of it to have that community. Absolutely.
Right.
Now, it can be tempting to basically get stuck in that first stage of denial and just stuff it away, as you shared. You know, you just, okay, we'll deal with this later, or pretend or go on as if nothing is wrong. But what are some of the dangers or consequences of that? What can grief actually do to us?
You know, it can do a number on us. You mentioned earlier like the phases or stages of grief, and I know many people are very familiar with that. And, you know, those, the basic five are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then finally acceptance. And we have the possibility of getting stuck in any of those and not moving past. It can be really easy to just get stuck in anger or stuck in bargaining, any of those. And that's okay for a little bit, but we want to be moving beyond that, because when we get stuck, nothing's going to happen, right? And then we risk getting in a position of self-pity and wallowing. And I generally tell people that's okay for about a minute, right? But you want to have people around you, again, who can say, who can see that, because we don't always see we're doing that. But somebody that can kind of gently take your hand and go, here, let me help you out of that a little bit. And I just don't think that's good for you long term. So that's another reason why having people in our lives that know us well can be so important, because grief can do, you know, I've known people that have been stuck in their grief for decades. We do grief share support groups at our church, and we have had people come to those groups who are grieving a loss from 30, 40 years ago. And I'm thankful they're there, because I feel like they're getting some healing and they're definitely getting that community. But it also makes me sad that they've carried this.
It's a long time to hold it.
Long, long time. And not even, I mean, in many cases, gone on about their life, not even recognizing, oh, I'm stuck here. Yeah. Right. And it really, what has happened is, in so many of those cases, it colors every relationship in their life in some way, whether that's their family life, their work life. And nobody can put their finger on, sometimes nobody can put their finger on what's wrong here. Why is there all this anger? Or why is there this depression? When we stuff our emotions, there's a grief expert, H. Norman Wright, and he says when people bury their emotions, they bury them alive, meaning they are always going to scratch and claw their way out. And when we do that, we lose control of how they're going to come out and what they're going to look like. So I have seen people that have been stuck in their grief for decades, and it comes out in really detrimental ways, and people don't know why. They don't know what that is. So there's another thing that, you know, we just call complicated or delayed grief. And I'll share my experience with that a little bit, because after my mother died in 2009, there were a lot of responsibilities that fell to me. My father was still living. And then additional ones that I took on, you know, to try to be helpful and all. And I was happy to do that. And I felt like I was equipped to do that. But at the time, you know, I lived long distance from where my dad was. I had teenage kids at home. I had a full-time job. And I'm trying to take care of some financial responsibilities and other things long distance. And I did that thing I talked about a little bit earlier. Put your nose to the grindstone, get this work done, and you can grieve later, because you have to take care of all these other people. And that was fine, but it was exhausting. And about a year to the day after my mother died, I just had a complete meltdown. I wasn't functioning well. I was depressed. I did not like my job. I didn't like people. Frankly, I was like, enough, everybody leave me alone. And everything felt like a burden. And so I decided that I'd go get some counseling help, because something obviously had to give. I was not tying this to my grief, by the way.
Of course not.
I was like, I don't know what this is, but I've got to get this thing under control. So I went and did some intensive counseling, and in one of the little assessment tools, you know, we talked about my mother's death and what that had meant to me. And one of the assessment tools came back on emotions, and anger was my highest. You know, you've known me for a while. I don't consider myself
an angry person. You're very angry patient.
But it came back high, like it was off the charts with anger. And my counselor looked at me and said, oh, you've got a little fire in you. You're very angry. And I said, I'm not angry. And he said, no, we're going to dig into this. Something's here. I'm like, I'm not an angry person. I remember saying that. I'm not an angry person. And yet, when we started digging around a little bit, I found out, you know, Tina was a very, very angry person. Some people explode in their anger. I was imploding in my anger. And really what it was I was stuck because I had not grieved. I had not allowed myself time to really grieve my mother's death. You know, this goes back to the other question. It was very detrimental to me and coming out in all kinds of weird ways. And so I had to say, okay, I've really got some grief work to do here because I've buried this. And part of what was making me angry, Holly, was everybody else around me who'd experienced the same loss was moving forward and in some pretty big, significant ways. And that was making me mad because I was kind of like in protest. Well, wait a minute. You all can't go do that when I'm over here taking care of business, you know, and I fully owned that. But at the time, it made me so angry. And I didn't know that was my grief.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, is there anything that we can learn from this grief? Of course, we're looking at how to process through it, but what can we actually learn from it?
Oh, so much. I think grief is one of our best teachers, actually. It's one of the most painful, but it's also one of the best. Grief is going to teach us whether we want it to or not, right? So we might as well embrace it and say, this is reality. I'm choosing to live in reality and lean into it, as I said earlier. You know, it shows us what's important to us. It shows us what's not important to us, things that we previously thought were. It teaches us, I think this is one of the greatest things, it teaches us the capacity of the human heart. You know, the cost of loving someone is when they're not there anymore. That doesn't mean we still don't love them, but there's a deep pain that none of us want to experience. But it teaches us about our capacity to love, because where there's no love, you're not going to find grief where there's no love. It teaches us empathy and compassion for other people in ways that we thought we had empathy and compassion, but when we walk through those waters, we understand that in such a new and fresh way. It can even give birth to new experiences and opportunities that we wouldn't have otherwise pursued, you know, in your own experience with loss. And it teaches us resiliency, I think. Doesn't feel like it in the moment, but I think when we get through a great deal of it, we're able to look back and say, you know, God made me in a way that I could do that with him. Of course, I know I couldn't do that on my own, but he gave me the capability to do that.
Very, very true. Without realizing it, I ended up using my Facebook page as a way to grief. And I don't mean that through slander or revenge or anything like that, but more in a way to remind myself to continue living. I guess looking at the stages of grief, I was trying to make sure I passed that depression stage, to be quite honest. This platform for my grief resulted in speaking engagements and starting a coaching business, even getting my writings published in devotional magazines. What are some other ways we can use our grief? Not necessarily just learn from the grief, but use our grief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we want to put our grief can be a tool. It's a resource and a tool. We don't think of it that way, but it really can be. And you just gave some great examples of that. You know, life is not the same. That's another big lesson of grief. Life is never going to be the same, but it's different now. So what am I going to do with this different? And we can do things differently. We don't have to keep things the same. We have options. We can still grow and learn in ways that we wouldn't have otherwise. And I believe that that's all a part of our healing. Like what comes out of this experience that I would have never chosen, but what things can still come out of it that are good and that are beneficial? You know, grief can motivate us. It can eventually inspire us. It causes us, again, I've said this before, but just to take personal inventory and assessment of what's important. And if there are places in life we need to make some course corrections, then we do that, right? We have an opportunity to do that. And again, ultimately, I think the healthiest outcomes are when we use our grief to help other people on their grief journeys. I don't believe that any of our life experiences should be wasted. Even the ones that we would prefer to shove in a box in a closet and never let anybody see. We learn from that, but I think there's even more good opportunity and potential for other people to see what we've learned, to share that when we walk alongside them, because that helps them not feel alone in their journey.
Absolutely.
They know somebody else gets this.
I like that perspective. What came out that I wouldn't have chosen, but eventually helped us. Mm-hmm. That's very wise. These have all been great resources and information for us to know, but what about if we aren't the one going through the grief, mm-hmm. but we see someone who is going through something like this? They aren't always open to researching grief or going to a grief counselor or even listening to a podcast. So what are some ways we can practically help others that we know who are walking a path like this?
Yeah, great question. I think the first thing is just to make yourself available and to let them know that you're with them. Grief is such a lonely journey, and some days you wonder, everybody else is going on with life and I'm stuck here with my grief, and does anybody even notice this? You can get to about the three-month mark of a loss or a death or a divorce or whatever, you know, some kind of loss. And at about the three-month mark, people have kind of gone back and they quit calling as much and they don't stop by. And that can be a very, very lonely time. So I make a note in my calendar when the three-month mark is for somebody, when the six-month mark is, when those special events would be that aren't going to be the same now, to make a phone call or send a text. That takes me less than a minute to do, to just say, hey, I'm thinking about you today. I know this might be a hard day for you, but I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you, right? You're not alone. You're loved. And those are just ways to let people know, even people who might be keeping you at arm's length, you can still do those things, just to say, hey, I'm here with you. I'm walking with you. And it's not necessary that you know exactly what they're feeling or exactly what their loss looks like. It's just acknowledging, I know this is hard, right? That's a universal human experience. If you're a person of faith, then I would say pray for them and let them know that. Let them know that you're praying for them. You know that in the Bible, there's the story of Job who lost everything, and his friends always get a bad rap as his bad advisors telling him all, well, it happened because of this and that and the other. And that's true. They should have kept their mouth shut.
Wasn't helpful.
No. They just heap more on. But at the same time, the Bible talks about places where his friends just came and sat with him. And sometimes I think that's one of the most powerful things we can do. You know, I was with a friend last week in Southern California, and we were walking her neighborhood, and she was telling me about the house on the corner. It's about four houses down from them, and how they had experienced a very tragic loss. They had a teenage son who had taken his life in their backyard, and she was telling me about being in her house, my friend Janice being in her house and hearing the sister scream when she had learned this news. And, you know, just how that shook her to the core and how she would never forget that. And, you know, I had a friend who a few years back had a teenage son who did the same. And I will never forget the cries that came from that friend. That will be with me forever. And I get emotional even as I talk about it because it's such pain. I have no words to say in that setting. I have no words. But I could go. And that house was full of people who didn't know what to say, but they could go and sit. And sometimes that's all it is, right? Sometimes it's watching people and seeing, like, I don't think they're eating. I'm going to take them a meal. I'm going to take them out to lunch. You know, recently had a loss in my family and was with a family member, and we were just kind of sitting, staring off into space. And I just said, no, this isn't good, right? Let's get up. Let's go for a walk. Here's a lake. We're just going to go walk around this lake. We don't have to talk. You know, just there's just some very practical things like that. And if they're not in a place where they can look for, hey, I need a support group or go to the doctor or anything like that, those are things we can gently encourage them to do. You know, now might be a good time to go in and get a checkup, right? Or, hey, I've heard of this support group. You know you don't feel like going to it right now, but when you're ready, let me know and we'll talk about it. Or maybe I could go with you. Would that be okay? I've seen that happen many times where somebody's not in a place where they feel ready to go by themselves. But if they can have a person go with them, that's the extra courage they need to walk in the door.
I think you just nailed it right there, is helping people not feel alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing.
Now, Tina, here on Holly's Highlights, our goal for 2022 is to have a takeaway, an action step, so to speak, where we can take what we've learned and encourage, inspire, and or equip ourselves or others as a result of listening. So what would be your challenge to listeners today that they do as a result of this time together?
Okay, well, I think I would say, let's all ask ourselves, are there any ungrieved losses in my life, right? And again, the obvious thing we think of is the death of someone, but it could be, as you've already said, you know, varying degree of loss that we've all experienced in this almost last 2 years now of pandemic life. What are my losses? And are there any places there that I should take a little bit deeper look and make some adjustments? I think especially the last 2 years for people who have had the death of a loved one, you know, they have had all kinds of obstacles. Not only have they lost their loved one, but in many instances, they've not been able to grieve with other people the way that we could before. And that's part of healing, is knowing, again, people are with me. So I think they're particularly to take a look and say, you know, what are some of the other losses in this? And, you know, I have two sons who lost their jobs during the pandemic. That took some time to grieve. I mean, they needed to do that. So there's all kinds of losses. But I would say for everybody, just ask yourself, is there any ungrieved loss, or is there a little bit more work I maybe need to do? And then give yourself permission to do it.
I can't thank you enough for your words of wisdom and counsel. How can our listeners connect further with you?
Well, I would welcome the opportunity to either meet in person or connect through email. If there's some way that I could be of help, I certainly want to. We can connect in person Monday through Thursday at Risen Life Church in Holiday. I'm on staff there. As you said, I give oversight to community and counseling ministries. Or if you're at Risen Life on a Sunday morning, just flag me down. You can find out more there on risenlifeutah.org, or you can get me on email at tina@risenlifeutah.org. And then I would say another way to connect in regards to loss is, I mentioned Grief Share a little bit earlier. You can go on, it's an international website, it's griefshare.org. You can type in your zip code and it will pull up any groups within your, I think, 20, 25 mile radius. And there are all kinds of resources online on their website to give you some encouragement and some tools in dealing with grief. And then we have just started a divorce care group on Sunday mornings. And you can learn about that and the losses associated with that at divorcecare.org. And same thing, it will tell you about groups in your area, and it will give you a library of resources, just about any area that you might be dealing with or have a question on. So I refer people to those sites all the time.
That's awesome. We'll make sure that we have all of that in our show notes too. Before we go, I'm curious of your response to our signature question. If you could go back and encourage, inspire, or equip yourself as a child, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, Holly. I looked at that question. I was like, oh, I probably should have thought about that one a little bit more. That's a pretty big one. The simplistic answer, and this is to quote my Uncle Mac, who passed away just this fall and was such an encourager in my life. And he would always say, everything's going to be okay, right? That's kind of his signature. Everybody in our family knows that. But otherwise, I would probably say to myself, there is always a way. You just take the next right step and you don't run too far ahead, because every time you run too far ahead, you worry and you fret and you think this is impossible. So there's always a way. Just take the next right step, do the next right thing.
I like that. Thank you so much, Miss Tina. We are grateful for your time and insight. This time with you truly has been a blessing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Holly. It has been a joy to be a part of this, and I hope it's helpful.
Thank you for joining me on this journey of life. I hope that today's highlight has been encouraging, inspiring, and equipping so you can go out and live your life full of purpose. I'd be honored if you'd take a moment to leave a review, or better yet, subscribe. We can also stay in touch by joining my email list at hollykirby.com. That's HollyCurby.com. Until next time, make it a great day for a great day.